much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, excellent. The fans are ready. You can feel the anticipation. It's almost showtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Fat sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
I'm gonna say something. I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but you're being a huge dork.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I find that offensive. Just because I'm of Japanese ancestry, you assume I know karate.
He shoots, he scores, go! No wonder your behind is bleeding!
Holla!
And now...
It's like a girl says she'll make out with you. But then her boyfriend is waiting around the corner with a pee-filled balloon.
Our feature presentation.
With a pee-filled balloon. Does that happen a lot on. Still?
All the time.
Really?
I can't tell you how many times that's been my bad
surprise. It's the weapon of choice?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Well, it makes a statement. You know, it's effective, and it really gets the message across to you.
I guess so. And it's easy to make. You have everything you need with a balloon.
That is a good point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's a old new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Thursday morning.
Two things. First of all, before we get going on today's action-packed show, one is, if you're in some sort of a dispute with your boss at work, or if you are in, as the case of the man in Seal Beach, California yesterday, in some sort of a dispute with your ex-wife over custody of your child, going to that place and shooting everybody inside is not the way to strengthen your case. How many times do we say this? You don't look like you're the right choice if you've been fired or dumped if you then come back with a weapon and kill.
I'll show them they shouldn't have fired me.
I'll show them that I'm stable.
What sense does that? It's never made sense, but then crazy people don't make sense, so.
I guess not.
What are you going to do?
Stop it, is what I'm saying.
All right,
I'm saying
good.
Don't do that.
Hands
I'm saying.
On the case. Good.
I'm saying, yeah, you feel like you got a raw deal. It doesn't really – you still don't win if you go back and start shooting up everybody in the place. That's all I'm saying. And you're just in more trouble. So don't do it.
Okay,
why can't people be logical like I am?
Good tip.
Okay. Thing two, and maybe you saw the story yesterday. It was everywhere. But a woman named Colleen O'Neill was flying on Continental Airlines. She was taking a very quick trip, about a half an hour flight from College Station, Texas to Houston. This happened back almost exactly 2 years ago when the plane hit extreme turbulence. Now, the pilots, by all accounts, ended up doing a pretty good job. The storm was bigger than they expected, and they flew around it. So the 30-minute flight ended up taking about 2 hours.
Happens.
Which I'm sure is, yeah. I mean, look, how many times have you thought, hey, I'll be in Las Vegas in 2 hours,
right.
And 5 hours later, you still weren't there? I mean, that stuff happens when you fly. Well, because of the turbulence that she had to fly through, she is now suing the airline. Saying that she experienced extreme fear during the flight, believed she was going to die, and is currently suffering from, you guessed it, post-traumatic stress
disorder.
Whatever.
Come on, that is a part of flying, period.
One would think so, right?
You can't control the skies.
And neither can they. And I think it's understood when you buy the ticket that there might be some turbulence. All you want, really, the honest truth is all you want to do is maybe get a peanut, maybe, and land safe. That's it. You're not guaranteed anything else.
That is insane.
And she certainly knew that it was stormy as well, didn't she? I mean,
well,
she
sure
certainly
made
had
the announcement, we're going to have to go around the storm. So clearly they were taking some action to.
But I'm going to say even before she got on the plane, she had to know that there was weather. I would imagine so. And she still chose to fly rather than drive the short distance. But so she flew, and here's what she's saying now in the court papers. She says, post-traumatic stress disorder. She says, I think they made a mistake in taking off. I don't think we ever should have been in the air. She said she has not been able to fly since, which has prevented her from getting a better job.
Oh, my God. F you.
Also has prevented her from visiting her family in other parts of the country because she's too afraid to fly. She says she has nightmares. And it goes on and on and on. She bought the ticket through Continental. She's suing them. She's suing United, which merged with Continental last year. Had nothing to do with it when it happened in 2009. She's also suing Pinnacle Airlines, which was the regional carrier that had
smaller
the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she's just suing everybody up in there is what she's doing.
Oh, f*** you.
No kidding.
And it does seem like there ought to be an option. And I know we talk about this with lots of frivolous lawsuits where the judge, first of all, fines and suspends the attorney for bringing the case. but then also just says to the lady, oh, well. You know what I mean? Just, oh, well.
You know,
oh, well, used to be an option in this country.
Yeah, it did. Oh, well, used to be an option.
It could totally be true that she's afraid to fly. That absolutely happens.
Right. Uh-huh. Deal with it.
That's a psychological issue right. that you have to go get help for.
A lot of people are afraid to fly.
Yeah.
You know what they do? They figure out a way to feel with it or deal with it, or they don't fly.
They don't
or they
sue don't fly. Yeah. Why don't you sue God while you're at it for the storm?
Ooh,
yeah.
Good.
Hey, didn't good idea.
Get note yeah. to self. Get a hold of attorney.
Yeah, we don't, frankly, care if you don't want to fly. That's perfectly within your right to not fly. But we're not required to make it easy and comfortable for you to fly whenever you want.
There were 100 and, I don't know how big that plane was. There's 95 people on that plane that didn't sue.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, they should be able to just toss her in jail. You know what they should do? They should sentence her to take half-hour flights around the country until she went to lands at every airport in America.
It would either kill her or fix her.
Right.
So the lessons learned today so far, this early in the Kevin and Bean Show, are stop it and oh well.
Yes, stop it and oh well.
I like it.
All right. No one's coming to us for answers, and I don't understand that, because we have them.
That's right.
We're here. We're offering our great wisdom, and people just don't seem to.
It's a shame.
Pearled before swine, people. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Good old Kevin. He'll do anything. Well, guess what? I will not do a good job.
Yeah, you can't force me. That's true. On the program today, we have Robert Kirkman, who has written, you know, a graphic novel called The Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
or a comic book, or a TV show, or a movie, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Kevin is still unclear based on the last time we had him on.
It was Vegas. I mean, that's all you have to say, right?
Yes.
Right.
If you know you were in Vegas, you just go, okay, it was Vegas. But I was dumb and insulting. And this is the only time I think I remember Ralph looking at me and I was like, okay, I'll shut up now.
It is shocking that Mr. Kirkman is coming back on.
It is, yeah. But The Walking Dead is coming back. I can't wait. That's
Sunday,
this Sunday.
Yes.
Well, that's so good. Dr. Drew's going to be on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Earlier in the week, he was sick again. So, physician healed myself, you know?
Yeah. For a doctor, it does seem like he ought to be able to avoid getting sick so often.
So, we're going to talk to him today about everything that's going on in his world. We have...
How dare you?
Comedian and MMA announcer Joe Rogan on the program today in the studio. Love him.
Yeah, he's the best.
One of our favorites of all time. We have Adewale Akinawe Akabaje.
Adewale Akinoye Akabaje.
That was pretty good.
Hey,
that was pretty darn close.
Son of a gun.
Come on.
He's AAA, as we're going to call him from now on. He was Mr. Echo on Lost. Big black guy with a stick, if you remember. And he also is one of the stars of The Thing, new film opening up this weekend. He's an intense actor. Doesn't he seem like he would be scary in real life?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's physically imposing, too, so that
yes,
doesn't...
definitely.
You know, that
don't
would...
see him smile much.
No. No. So we have him, and we have people who ruin the curve. I don't know if you saw these stories, but these people that... well, the guy that threw a... Is your post up yet, Bean?
I think it goes live in a few minutes.
In about a half
we'll be
hour,
talking about it. Yeah.
We're going to tell you about a blind guy that threw a strike, first pitch, before a game. All right, whatever. Another dude with no arms and legs climbed a mountain. I mean, come on, people. We don't need that. You're
super
ruining
annoying.
The curve. Stop
stay,
it.
Stay, stop it. Oh, well, and stay home.
Right. And we have tickets for Breakfast with Coldplay, which is Tuesday. You can listen to it on the radio or watch it online.
Excellent.
We're going to webcast it live. So that is Tuesday. We got your tickets coming up. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Limited days to win your way into our Breakfast with Coldplay because it is happening live on the Kevin and Bean Show Tuesday. So that gives you today, and then it gives you Friday, and then it gives you Monday, and that's it. So definitely keep on listening. We'll give you a couple chances today on the program to join us for that show. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Just congratulations, Bean. Congratulations.
On?
Uh-oh.
One of his people did well.
One of his people.
I was happy to read the story this morning.
One of his people.
You didn't hear about Rachel Sampson?
No.
Rachel Sampson is a 14-year-old girl who has Asperger's syndrome.
Ah, I see. Yes.
High-functioning form of autism.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joke, people at her high school nominated for her from Homecoming Princess.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apparently, her friends like to make fun of her because she has Asperger's.
Not really her friends.
No, not really at all, Lisa. But she figured out what was going on. And her mom did, too. They realized it was a mean joke. So they posted a website and a Facebook page telling the story about what these kids had done. So the other kids in the school rallied behind her and got her nominated, and she's actually on the homecoming court.
She
became one of the homecoming princesses because everyone realized what a mean joke it was, and the community of the school did the right thing, and now she is the freshman homecoming princess.
Excellent.
How about that?
I never got to be homecoming princess. Now I'm a little sad.
Well, it's because Rachel's one of the good ones. Yeah. You know how it is with the Aspergers. That's how we break them down.
I didn't realize it was good and bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But that's a nice story. So the bullies got their comeuppance because what they thought was going to be a joke backfired and became a joke on them.
Uh-huh.
Bullies.
Would you say it gets better?
I would say it gets better.
All right.
It gets better.
Did you guys know there's actually a disease called Aspergers?
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Ashton Kutcher's lady friend, Sarah Leal.
Is this mm-hmm. one in San Diego, the one who shut the
this
F up?
The one who will not stop talking about having sex with him. She's the worst mistress ever.
Ever. And Ashton has to be like, hey, can we let this blow over? Give my wife a minute and forget it?
Every week, she's got more details that she's spilling to somebody.
She didn't live with the guy for a year, right? They banged. That was it,
first,
right?
First, she said, I had sex with Ashton Kutcher at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Oh, no, but there's pictures of us coming out of a nightclub together. Okay. That's
got
great.
It.
We got probably. You know what? We were all naked in his hot tub in his room. Me and three other girlfriends, we were all naked. Ashton, four naked girls. Okay, Sarah, we got it. Yeah. We had unprotected sex.
That happened. She came out and said that.
Now, we had unprotected sex twice, she adds.
Too much information and man.
Yesterday, we came out of the hot tub. He lost his towel. I took off my robe. Then we had sex. Sarah said, he was good. Ashton told me, I enjoy things like this because I'm an actor 90% of the time and it's all fake. It's nice to have moments that are real. Sarah said the sex wasn't weird or perverted. No, but the oversharing is, Sarah. Yeah. It's both weird and perverted. Stop it.
People need to say, okay, listen, tell your story, but this is it. Just be done with it.
Or how about don't tell your story?
Well, either way. She's
just
apparently
bang a celebrity and go away. If that's what you really want to do, you want to bang a celebrity, you've gotten what you wanted, just don't make the man's life a living hell.
I don't know that that's what you wanted. I think maybe this is what you wanted. She wanted the spotlight.
And the payday, too. I'm sure she's getting a lot of money for this story. Now, next week, we're going to find out what he said to her as she left the room and the details of her walking out to her car.
This is Trapped in the Closet.
This is
chapter after chapter we're getting from this girl.
And then we kissed, and I'll tell you more next week.
Radar Online, by the way, is saying that, rumor has it, Ashton is telling friends and associates he expects Demi to file for divorce sometime soon.
Yeah.
What happened to they went in the woods.
Yeah. Here's my point.
What about that story?
Yeah, they're in the woods, camping together. They're showing up at the Kabbalah Center, red-wristed, hand-in-hand.
Right.
And they got the magic Kabbalah working for them and everything. Look, here's the thing. If things are fine, good for you. I'm happy. I'm happy you're putting on this little display of solidarity.
Uh-huh.
But if you're effing with us, if she's going to file for divorce and this is all just BS, we get to punch you in the face.
I like it. Yeah.
That's how it works.
Stop wasting our time, celebrities.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah. If you're separating, stay separated and just be normal. Don't try to fool us into thinking everything's fine, and then you file for divorce. This has been a public service message.
I like it.
Yeah. Christina Aguilera's appearance at the Michael Jackson tribute concert is garnering attention. Not so much for her singing, but the tabloids that are blasting her for her weight gain. And more so, perhaps, the clothing that she was wearing during the performance.
Yeah, she is fat.
Well, and she does seem to be ignoring the fact that perhaps she can't wear the same things she wore when she was thin.
Well, not clothing appropriate, if that's what you mean.
That's the fascinating thing, is for a while she was way too skinny, and now she's a monster, and she's still wearing the same clothes.
You hate her because she's sexy. That's what it is.
Is it?
You hate her because she's sexy.
I don't think so.
I think a monster might be pushing it a little bit.
No, have you seen all the photos?
I did.
All right.
Those thighs, Heather of Zip Code.
Big girl.
We're going to put a photo gallery up a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Dear God.
And you'll see what I'm talking about.
And speaking of too sexy, Courtney Stodden is in the news. She, of course, the now 18-year-old girl who was married to 51-year-old actor Doug Hutchinson from Lost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Courtney's mom is furious and is going to the news, not because her 17-year-old daughter married a 51-year-old man. Actually, she was 16 at the time. She's 17 now. And not because her daughter is a slut who shows a lot of skin in every picture she's in. It's because Facebook keeps shutting down Courtney's fan sites for being too sexy. There's nothing on her page you wouldn't find anywhere on Facebook, Mom says to E! News.
Mom's upset that now 17-year-old daughter can't have super sexy website?
Yeah, still under 18, by the way. Just slutting it up all over Facebook. Facebook keeps saying, this is really inappropriate, and they keep shutting down the pages. And Mom is furious with Facebook. Instead of telling her daughter, hey, put on a sweater.
There's your problem right there.
You know what the problem is?
What?
Women hate her. Because the men love her, Mom says.
Oh, there it is.
That's it. It's jealousy.
Women think she's too sexy.
Sure.
They all report her together, and then it's done. Over
How
at Facebook.
Can they keep up with that kind of high-level, intense sexiness?
They
you know?
They are furious.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones.
No.
She's fake.
No. She's all natural. God is her plastic surgeon.
Have you seen her Twitter page, Ralph?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, I follow her.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah.
And am I lying if I say that 9 out of 10 tweets are all about how she's touching herself and she's so hot and the sun feels so good on her skin
her
and
cotton
on.
Candy body with its glistening pinkness all sweet and ready for the day of love.
And then the 10th of those 10 tweets is always a Bible passage about God.
Oh, my God.
It's the most bizarre juxtaposition ever.
You have to keep balance, Lisa.
Okay.
Yeah. She's the best.
She is the best. I believe I'm following her, too.
And everyone she's 17 and looks 35.
If she's 35. You're being generous. She's rough. She's a rough 35.
Really? At 35, she's rough?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's one of those circumstances where art imitates life or vice versa. One of Dr. Evil's henchmen is suspected of real murder. His name is Joseph Son. And he played a random task in the first Austin Powers movie. He was the odd job spoof, the guy who would kill people with his hat. Remember?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He was a henchman named Random Task.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of odd job, he was Random Task.
Right.
See, the James Bond villain, Kevin, was odd job in Goldfinger.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
Odd job was the Asian valet in Goldfinger who threw that bowler, that deadly bowler, would chop your head off.
Right.
His name was odd job.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin Powers, the character's name was Random Task. Odd job, Random Task. Oh, never mind.
I don't understand.
He played Random Task, and he has been charged in the death of his cellmate in prison at Wasco State Prison in California.
That guy only had to put up with one dude, and he couldn't.
Yeah. He's a bad person. He had been convicted in August of one count of torture. After evidence linked him to the kidnapping and brutal gang rape of a woman in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was good casting.
So his roommate, or cellmate, I guess you'd say, winds up dead, and they're looking at him.
He's like, what?
What?
I didn't do anything.
Maybe it was somebody else. You were the only guy in here with him. You were his cellmate. Oh, but sure, okay. There's that, but
they're jumping to conclusions.
They hate me because I'm too sexy.
That's what it
defense,
is
what he's saying. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Musician Paul Simon of the legendary duo Simon and Garfunkel and that very successful solo career. 70 years old today. A lot of people think the wrong owner died this week when Al Davis passed away. Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys celebrates his 69th birthday.
Could they both go?
Oh, wouldn't that be sweet? Sammy Hagar is 64. Joey Belladonna of Anthrax is 51 years old today. Actress Kelly Preston is 49. Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice, 44 years old today. Sacha Baron Cohen, you know him as Borat, and of course,
Bruno,
yeah, 40 years old. Matt Hughes, the UFC, is 38 years old. Ashanti celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We got a big show for you coming up here on the Kevin and Bean program, including our friend Dr. Drew, also Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, which has a TV version coming back for season number 2 this Sunday. Looking forward to that. And our friend Joe Rogan also coming up. So, Kevin, you've got a long history of outstanding major league ballpark performances. And by that, I mean,
why do you bring that up again?
You've thrown out the first pitch at a couple of Dodgers games. I think one went into the dirt. I think the other one, I don't think we were able to track the ball. I think we lost it. I think it went out into space somewhere, but it certainly didn't get anywhere near the catcher when you threw that one.
Both went into the dirt. I did it twice at Dodger State. And I used to pitch in high school. Mm-hmm. So I can throw a strike, but this is a little further. And
it is.
For some
it
reason, I don't know. It's just a mental block. But
freaks you out.
Those days are behind me.
It is further than you think it is, because on TV it doesn't look that far.
No,
but
it's
a full like 60 feet. So, yeah. Well, the reason I bring it up again is because there was a guy as part of the postseason baseball playoffs that are going on right now. This was last week. He was out there in front of the Arizona Cardinals. Excuse me, Arizona Diamondbacks and the Milwaukee Brewers, I believe. It was their series. And he was representing some blind federation, National Federation of Blind or something like that. And yeah, you guessed it. He is blind.
Oh, f*** you.
Now, what would it take if you were a blind dude to talk you into going out in front of a sold-out house of 50,000 people and throwing a pitch 60 feet to a guy who's waiting to catch it? Can you imagine? Can you imagine how little point of reference he has on how to make that play?
Well, I'm sure he practiced beforehand, but
yeah.
And he can't see the crowd, so that's not intimidating, right?
Right.
So a guy goes out there and goes, okay, you're standing in the right. See, that's the problem with this, is that guy didn't turn him toward second base and say,
yes,
go ahead. And then the guy throws it into center field. Now we've got a very funny video.
And they hold up a sign to the crowd that says, everybody applaud as if he threw it to the catcher. Well, in fact, here's what happened.
For the Foundation for Blind Children, Max Ashton, tonight's ceremonial first pitch guest. Catching the first pitch is D-backs infielder, Maya Overbay.
So Max goes out to the mound.
Max, when you're ready.
And it's actually very funny because he does the thing where he looks toward first to make sure the runner isn't trying to go.
Sure.
And then he throws his pitch. And of course, good job, Max, indeed. And, of course, it's a strike.
It wasn't a strike. It was a little high. It was high. You call that a ball.
I don't
You're
know.
You're talking about a blind man.
You would call that a ball, just like you would call mine in the dirt a ball. Let's be honest.
I thought when I saw it the first time that it was a little high, but then I think it kind of dropped a little
bit.
Well,
who's batting, though?
Zone.
Who's batting?
Well,
is it a short batter? That's a difference.
So we saw that guy, and he's blind, and he throws out a first pitch, and we thought, well, that's just rubbing it in. That's the kind of guy, you can go to kevinandme.com if you want to see that video yourself, by the way. And as I explained on the blog post, that's the kind of guy who's throwing off the curve for the rest of us. So he's stop it, is what he is.
I agree. Hey, come on, man. You're throwing off the curve. I go out there twice, I can't do it. You're blind. All right, you're blind. That guy wins anyway. If he throws in the dirt, no one cares because he's blind.
That's true.
Exactly. Then we saw Ken Maynard, who I didn't realize until I saw this story a few days ago, is a guy that we have spoken about on this program before. He was born with no arms and no legs, all right? No, this isn't a setup for one of Ralph's jokes. He has his arms are cut off just below the elbow. His knees are cut off just before – his legs are cut off just before the knees. So he has – you know, he's got flippers, but he's got no hands and feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about him before because he's the guy that we saw doing MMA fighting last year. Remember him, Kevin?
Oh,
the guy
no kidding.
Same guy. He also had a very successful wrestling career in high school. He now is a motivational speaker and also runs a CrossFit gym. He's a trainer for people in addition to being a motivational speaker. Okay.
Can you imagine whining to this guy about not wanting to do another sit-up?
I'm so tired. I can't do anymore.
Hey, I don't have any arms or legs. Well, let's see what Mr. Maynard is up to now.
Meeting Kyle Maynard will change your life. This 25-year-old has had all the odds stacked up against him since birth, but that hasn't stopped him from accomplishing the impossible. Take a look.
And by the way, all the ladies on this newscast from the CBS station in Atlanta, they're just melting over this guy. So not only is he physically a miles ahead of us, he's getting laid more than we are. Well. They love this dude.
I think Kilimanjaro is going to be the toughest test I've ever faced.
Wait, what? Well, excuse me, Kilimanjaro, the mountain?
This dude is climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, which is the tallest mountain in Africa.
How?
That's what he's doing. Well, let's find out, Lisa.
And Kyle Maynard knows all too well about challenges. He's a quadriplegic, born with no arms and no legs.
To me, it never knew any different. So my parents raised me with that attitude just to go and believe that, you know, the disability was there, but it wasn't something that was going to affect my life.
Now, if I'm a guy with no arms and no legs, I just accept that my job is to be a rug. That's what I do. I'm just laying on the floor at home because that's what I do.
Right? Because you can, right?
What's this guy doing climbing a mountain?
And it hasn't. The 25-year-old has competed in wrestling, martial arts, and CrossFit. But now he's preparing to climb more than 19,000 feet on Mount Kilimanjaro.
Now, I don't know that much about mountain climbing, but Kilimanjaro is for pros, right?
Yes.
It's big time.
It's one of the seven tallest mountains in the world.
So looking forward just to send the message to people that, you know, just... you know, get up and do something. We got to get out of that mentality that, you know, we're just going to whine and complain about all the bad things that can go and happen to us, you know, and just go and say, like, there's life to live. Like, I'm just going to go and start, do something now, you know, live it.
Okay, so now let's recap now. No Arms, No Legs had an unbelievably successful career. The ladies love him, runs and owns his own business, motivational speaker, way better attitude than I've ever had.
People that are better than us, people that make us feel like crap.
That's this guy. It falls right in that category.
I didn't know he had his own
now,
jingle. That's
you nice. You have to watch the video because here's the thing. You're going to hate yourself, but you're going to laugh. Because the dude walks like a dog.
He does.
Oh, first of all.
God.
Now, second of all, he ain't getting up Kilimanjaro. That's just not going
to
happen.
Well, let's listen to how he does it, and you'll see why he looks like a dog when he's running around.
Kyle and his team prepare for the climb on Stone Mountain. Kyle will not use any prosthetics or be pulled up with any equipment.
So basically just doing a bear crawl down on all fours.
All he has is mountain bike tires wrapped around his limbs with gorilla tape.
Okay, so that's how he's doing it.
My God.
And he's got, like the top half of his arms, top half of his legs, Lisa, which makes him about dog level as he's scurrying up and down this mountain. I mean, you feel like you want to give him a treat, you know, when you see him coming. Why don't you think he's going
to
make
watch him? It looks like it takes everything he has to go 15 feet.
But on Kilimanjaro, you don't have the thing that you have with Everest where you have one, I don't know, what is it, a 10-hour period where you have to get the top and back down or you'll die. Kilimanjaro isn't that high, so he really could take his time, right?
Well, I guess if he wants to be out there for the rest of his life.
But he sounds like the kind of guy who it wouldn't bother him that this next mile is going to take 2 hours.
He will not get... And I'm not saying this, it sounds terrible, but I'm telling you, watch it. Okay. It's at kevinandme.com. But he will not get a quarter of the way up. It isn't possible.
What if somebody throws a ball and he chases that down?
That he probably could get it down.
ever think about that? So you hope he fails.
I don't hope he fails. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. People that are better than us. People that make us feel like crap.
He's ruining the curve, is what
that's
I'm saying.
That's exactly my point.
And he's not going to get to the top of the mountain unless he's in the backpack of a Sherpa. I mean, that's really his only option.
Go see the videos at kevinandme.com and then write those strongly worded emails directly to Kevin.
How dare you?
People that are better than us. People that make us feel like crap.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Yeah, it's Breakfast with Coldplay. Yeah, it's happening on Tuesday. Yeah, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. If I recall correctly, though, this game is not... That's the point of the game. All right, who's next, Mr.
I hate her.
Yeah. She's gone.
Thank God we have Lindsay next. She's in public relations. She's a smart one.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning.
You're apparently a smart one.
I try.
All right, you're going to hear the title of a Coldplay song backwards twice, and then you just have to tell us what it is forwards. You ready?
Okay.
Here you go.
Sierra.
One more time.
Sierra.
Oh, my God.
We do need a guess, though.
Let's see. Violet Hill?
I'm sorry, it's Paradise.
Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay.
This game is not easy.
It's always game world!
Who's next?
Next up is Diane. She's a mom. She stays at home. It's the hardest job in the world.
Oh, look at that. A little sympathy for the callers. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So far, we're 0 for all. Good luck. Listen up. We'll play it for you twice. Here's your Coldplay song backwards.
Wally.
One more time.
Wally.
If it helps. It sounds the same forwards as it does backwards. We do need a guess.
Okay.
It's not very easy.
I know.
All right. If people aren't even going to guess, there's no reason to call.
Hey,
at least have a song in mind.
Yellow.
Yeah, that was yellow.
Sorry,
thank you for the
Diane.
Call. All right. I feel we're in
Beans
a sudden
got some place to go. Let's go. Hurry up, people.
I just am envisioning people listening to the game going, all right, take a guess if you don't know.
He's got an Eggo in the toaster. Let's go, people.
I agree with Bean, though. We are in sudden death.
We're in sudden death, I think, at this point. Yeah. No more drawing, Mr. Announcer Man. If somebody gets it, they win it.
That's good news for Enrique.
What's up?
Hey, Enrique.
No way. No way. I'm betting right now.
If you get it, you win, Enrique.
I'm saying no way.
Right. Here we go.
No pressure, buddy. If you get it, you win. Okay.
There it is, twice backwards. Here you go.
Skull.
One more time.
Skull.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No.
At this like point,
you're not allowed to be surprised that this is what the game sounds like.
Give us a guess.
Name a goddamn Coldplay song.
Okay.
Any of them.
Clocks.
Panic. Sorry.
Oh man.
Wow.
All right. Sudden death continues with the worst contestants in the history, not only of our show, but of radio.
But it's who's the hardest game in the world.
I hate all of these people. Who's going to save us, Mr.
Nutsman? Ruben. He's a salesman.
Ruben, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You're not going to be surprised by hearing it backwards.
No.
There
sounds
you go.
Like a robot.
There you go.
We skiff.
One more time.
We skiff.
One more time, please.
Nope.
Thank you for calling. Let's move along. At this point, we have no time for nonsense.
Let us fix you. Let us give the answers, Bean. Hold on a second. No one has ever wanted to be out of a segment more.
Bean's in a hurry.
I'm just saying, how many times have we said to every contestant, we're going to play it for you twice, and then that guy is like, can you play it again?
Okay. Wow. Oh, you're a good boy. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Somebody needs a Valium.
All right.
Next up is Emily.
What if this game never ends? What if we're still playing it tomorrow?
Emily's a student.
Emily, please get this right.
Okay, I'll try.
Here's
Emily, what have you thought of the contestants so far you've been listening to while you've been on hold?
I don't know, they're all really hard.
Yeah.
They sound like robots.
All right, here you all go. Right. Good luck. Good luck.
All for it, all wizard. Bars, grease, you're met.
Oh, my God. We played this game originally. We named it something else, and then we realized it is the hardest game in the world.
Yes, it really is.
All right, one more time backwards.
All for it, all wizard. Bars, grease, you're met.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that it talks about whiz. That's all I know. All right, what song is it forward? A lot of words.
Oh, gosh.
Big clue.
Don't make me start talking, because I will.
Giant clue. A lot of words. There are 1, 2, 3,
pick a title!
Six words.
Pick a title!
Say the name of a Coldplay song!
Every teardrop is a waterfall.
All right. You. Please die. All right, last contestant, Mr. Announcer Man. Get it or
last
not.
Last contestant, we don't have a winner yet.
This game is over, and we won't have a winner if the next person doesn't get it.
Wow. I will turn this car around.
Yes, I will. Who do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Kara. She's an insurance agent.
Kara?
Yes.
Please get this right. Now,
you are going to need insurance based on what I'm going to do to you if you can't come up with a title, all right?
Ahead of time, I'm going to tell you that whether you know it or not, perhaps shout out a Coldplay title, okay?
Oh, sorry.
There you go. This is it backwards.
Arriva l'aviv.
One more time.
Arriva l'aviv.
I'm going to have to say Viva la vida.
Viva la vida.
That is the first one that's the same backwards as forwards.
Kara, 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 Kara.
Breakfast Kara. With Coldplay happens live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. It happens Tuesday. You will be there with us. Thank God for you. And thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
They sound like robots.
One of the stars of the new motion picture, The Thing, coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Beer Mug, what's that actor's name? I can't remember the name of the guy we're going to be talking to.
Agalawaglegale alabaje halabale.
That's it.
That's the guy. He, of course, was Mr. Echo on Lost. By the way, I'm looking at his info here, Kevin. He was a model in Milan before moving to Los Angeles to become an actor.
Yeah,
like
we
all were.
Yeah.
Has a master's degree in law from the University of London and is fluent in 5 languages. So that's the dude that we've got coming up. He's on our show.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've had a guy with no arms and legs climbing a mountain. Right. We had the dumbest contestants in the history of this show.
Yes. And then a model who speaks five languages. Exactly.
All right.
So I don't know what the hell we're doing here. Let's turn our attention to Kevin and Bean Book Club Thursday, which, as you know, is a regular feature on this program. Today, we're going to recommend a new book that is just in stores this week by the great Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy, of course, legendary rock and roll star for the past 40 years or so, now has written a book called I'm Dr. Ozzy, Advice from Rock's Ultimate Survivor. Look at Ozzy. Is he the guy you want to go to for medical advice, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, now you have the opportunity to, because somehow he's managed to survive, and now apparently he can answer our medical questions as well. Ozzy Osbourne, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. Hi.
How are you fellas doing?
We're good. How are you today,
Ozzy?
It's good.
What? Thank you for joining us. You okay?
Thank you for being joined.
Okay.
Of course.
Now, of course you are. Kevin! Okay. Who am I talking to?
This is Kevin and Bean.
Hello, Kevin and Reen.
Yes. Bean. Kevin and Bean, right.
Bean.
Reen is close enough.
Bean. Ozzy, you know that you're not really a doctor, right?
No, listen. A lot of doctors that have been, who have had doctors in the past, they're dead. And yet here am I still alive. So who better to get medical advice from than me?
Well, you have had quite an extraordinary life filled with many near-death experiences, so the fact that you came through it is to your credit.
Right, so I realize that maybe I know more than they do about medicine and about how to stay alive, because many of them are already dead.
I see what you're saying. You've outlived your doctor, so you know the deal. So you've been writing a column for Rolling Stone magazine here in the United States, the Sunday Times in your home back in England.
Yeah.
And apparently you have taken those and put them into a book and also added a bunch of new stories medicine. I see.
Yeah, so I would give you advice on how you can live a long time and you'll be healthier.
All due respect, do you remember how you came through every one of those things?
Of course I do.
You do? Okay.
Yes. All right. There's some things you can do to help you live longer.
Okay, what?
You have to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated?
Yes.
Okay.
So you should drink liquid hydrogen.
No, you can't.
Hydrogen, hydrated. Same thing, the words.
Hydrated means water. It means water.
No, water means water. I know that much.
I'm saying
hydrated. I have a glass of hydrated, I have a glass of water.
Oh, right, but I'm saying that's what it means to be hydrated, is to drink enough water.
No,
I'm not
hydrogen.
The doctor. All right. I'm not the doctor.
Also, you should look at the animals around you that you want to be like, and you should eat what they eat to get the same results.
Okay.
Like a squirrel is fast, it can climb things.
Mm-hmm.
So eat acorns.
Well, that's acorns aren't made for a human digestion system. That's not a good idea.
Who's the doctor?
Well, I guess apparently you are.
That's right. If you want to live a long time and be a good swimmer, you should eat plankton like a whale.
I don't think that's going to make you a good swimmer, though, Ozzy. I mean, it doesn't.
Who's the doctor?
Well, you're not really a doctor. You know that, right? I mean, the name. The name of the book is Trust Me, I'm Dr. Ozzy.
It's in there in the title, isn't it?
But yes, but you're not an actual doctor just because you wrote a book called that.
You should keep all your organs lubricated.
Keep all your organs lubricated.
Drink motor oil. You're going to change every 5,000 miles.
I don't think.
Your suggestions will kill people if they follow them, Ozzy.
No, I've done everything I recommend in my book.
And I'm sure you have.
And look at me.
Yes.
You can be just like Ozzy. You can be like me.
Ozzy?
Yeah, I scared myself.
Okay. All right, go back.
People, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ralph joins us at this time each and every hour. Tell us what's going on in the world of Hollywood. What's happening, Ralph?
We were talking about Christina Aguilera last hour, about her tremendous appearance at the Michael Jackson tribute concert. And I mean tremendous in the sense that she is tremendous.
She's fat.
But at least her hair is a mess and she's wearing the wrong clothes and her makeup is hideous. So
she looks like she got in a knockdown, drag-out fight outside
Yeah.
just to get in. I mean, she looks terrible.
She just fell off a rock tumbler.
But at least she's still wearing the same clothes she did when she was skinny.
Yes.
That's not
good. She's on your TV every week on that voice show. Does she look worse than we saw on the voice?
Okay. Much worse.
Way.
Apparently they put her together as best they can for television, and then they left her to her own accord for the live performance, and that was a mistake.
Put up a bunch of photos. You can go to KevinBean.com. You can see the transformation of Christina Aguilera to fat Christina Aguilera.
It's alive! That's what they say at the end of the transformation. She rises off the slab. yesterday we were talking about Celebrity Apprentice and who may be appearing on that show. These are more rumors about who may be joining the cast. Cheryl Teagues, we mentioned yesterday, of course, supermodel.
Ryan Gosling.
Nope. Car racer Marco Andretti of the Racing Andretti family. Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane. Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, add to that, Debbie Gibson, 80s pop singer Debbie Gibson. Now we got a show, right? But wait, there's more.
Not yet.
How about Clay Aiken? American Idol. Runner-up Clay Aiken.
That Dude, might be interesting.
You think? He is going to get chewed up and spit out. He's a little soft for that show, isn't he?
He hopes.
You do have to be kind of thick-skinned.
Yes.
Yeah. Clay is a shrewd businessman. You'd be surprised.
All right.
He created the Claymates, or the Aiken Files, whatever they're called.
They're Claymates. Claymation.
Yeah. Claymation. You better Claymation. That's right. Yeah, that going for him, too. So far, not rounding out to be my favorite season of Celebrity Apprentice. I haven't heard that magic name yet
that makes
me say, I want to tune in.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me back up one step, Ralph, because I'm on Kevin's post at KevinandBean.com. So you're telling me the first picture is Christina this weekend, and then the second picture is when she's unbelievably smoking hot in 2000?
Yes.
And that's the same woman?
Same person.
2000, 2004, 2006.
Oh, my God, that can't be the same person.
Yeah, it is.
That girl's fat.
Way
the
fat.
First picture ate all the people in the second, third, and fourth pictures.
Yeah, she's monstrous.
She's out of control.
It's unbelievable.
Now, look, it may be she's been through some rough times personally and professionally, which drives some people to bad habits, you know, drinking, overeating, lack of exercise, that sort of thing. So this may be a temporary glitch, we hope.
I agree, but wear clothes that hide that.
Yeah, dress appropriately. That's all you have to do. You can go to KevinBean.com if you want to check out those photos. They're pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
She doesn't have anyone in her life that says, hey, you might want to wear a different outfit.
With her money and the people she's got on her staff, that's not often the case.
Yeah.
Say it, Fatso.
You're surrounded by people who you are paying them to say yes to you.
Right. Even Adele thinks she's fat at this point.
See, because that was kind of fat, Ralph.
That's a shot at Adele that really is uncalled for.
It was uncalled for, but his point.
Adele did nothing wrong.
She didn't.
She got caught in the crossfire.
She did.
It's inappropriate.
But she's disappointed.
Forbes magazine has released their list of highest paid TV actors. This year, it's once again loaded up with familiar names. However, a lot of these people, I get the sense, will not be on the list next year. Because these are the people for the past 12 months who have made the highest amount of money doing television. There's a three-way tie at 10th, 9th, and 8th between Christopher Maloney, Hugh Laurie, and Simon Baker. They all made $9 million the past year.
Dude.
All right. Being on the TV. Patrick Dempsey, 7th, made $10 million. He, of course, from Grey's Anatomy. A tie at 6th and 5th with Lawrence Fishburne and John Cryer. Now, Fishburne, example, won't be on this list next year because he's no longer on CSI.
Right.
$11 million they made over the past year. That's pretty strong. Mark Harmon, CNIBSTPDQFYI, he made $13 million, comes in at number 4. Steve Carell, another name who won't be on the list next year because he's no longer in the office, $15 million, number 3 on the list.
Ray Romano, why am I so rich and so unhappy?
Ray Romano made $20 million
from
in the past year. I guess Careers of Ugly Gentlemen, whatever that show was called. Portrait of an Angry Gentleman.
Men of a Certain Age.
Men of a Certain Age.
That's the name of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess he was the producer on that.
And he wrote.
$20 million
He's still
to
getting
be on
Ray
that show?
Residual money.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's
that's got to be most
money.
Of it.
A lot of that, too.
Wow.
And the number one highest paid actor on television over the past 12 months. Any guesses? Give me a hint. $40 million. $40 million is what this person
brought
in.
Wait, what was Ray,
20? Ray, it was 20.
What? Is it Simon Cowell?
Nope.
That's a great guess.
Yeah.
These are TV actors, by the way.
TV actors. Okay. Gosh, who would be
twice?
Who's making more than House, twice, for God's sake?
Twice as much as Ray Romano. $40 million with the number one slot.
I can't even imagine. No idea.
I'm out.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, my.
Charlie Sheen, the top of the list.
I guess that makes sense, because didn't they have a giant payoff or something?
Yeah, he just got paid $25 million in back pay, and then plus the money he was making while he was on the show.
Duh.
Wow.
So $40 million this past the past year. For Charlie.
Maybe he is winning after all. Maybe we're wrong to make fun of him.
But again, that's a name that probably won't be on the list next year. Right. So take that for what it's worth. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician Simon. Nope, Paul Simon, 70 years old today. Simon Paul is a different guy.
Very different guy.
Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is 69 years old today. Singer Sammy Hagar celebrates his 64th birthday. Joey Belladonna of Anthrax is 51. Kelly Preston, a very lovely and talented actress, is 49 years old. Kate Walsh, from Private Practice, turns 44 years old. Sacha Baron Cohen, funny dude, 40 years old. Matt Hughes of the UFC is 38 years old. And Ashanti celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Joe Rogan joins us in studio in a few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. He's been doing the MMA fights for a long time. I don't remember ever seeing him as excited as he was this past weekend, though. Do you, Kevin?
No, it was awesome.
Insane how great those fights were and how much Joe loved it. And we'll talk to him about all that in his upcoming improv in a minute here. First, though, we've been talking about this movie, giving away tickets for the last couple of weeks. We could not be more excited. The Thing finally is here. It hits theaters tomorrow. Here's a clip to tell you what you're in for.
My God.
Somebody was attacked.
But it seems everyone is fine.
Either someone miraculously healed themselves, or someone is not who they say they are.
What was it doing to him?
It's imitating his cells. I think this thing copies its prey and then hides inside it.
What are you saying?
Not all of us are human. Could be any of us. We can't let this thing leave.
If it makes it out of here, millions of people could die.
Yes!
Okay, all right. I don't know
yes,
about
please.
That.
Yes, please!
We are very excited to welcome to the show, perhaps for the first time, one of the stars of The Thing. Kevin, I'm going to let you have a stab at his name because you're better at it than I am.
His name is Adewale Akinaye Akabaje.
Triple A, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend. How are you?
Yo, there you go. That was a great job, man.
Thank you. I'm known for that on our show. It's difficult names. I'm the one to go to. So
we have all been.
You can call me Adewale. Just keep it in.
Adewale. All right. Guys. Fantastic.
You know, of course, we fell in love with you on Oz and then on Lost, and we've seen you in a bunch of movies in the past. We're very excited to see that you were in this one. But was there a time when you started out as an actor, Adewale, where people said, hey, maybe it might make it easier on the Western press if you might pick a show business name?
Yes, there was a time, and there still is a time every single day. People say, can I change my name? But you know what? This is the one I was given a birth and the one I'll take to the grave. And I always believe if you stick with something, stand for it, people get used to it. You know, Schwarzenegger was a tough one.
Yeah.
And now everybody loves it. And I believe that AAA, you know, they'll get used to
but
it.
But we could say.
Adewale will suffice.
We could say, okay.
Yeah, just be the one of those one names like Madonna. Just be Adewale. That's all you got to be. And we were fascinated to see that you had started out as a model and apparently had quite a bit of success as a model. And then did you decide, hey, I want to be an actor? Or did people come to you and say, dude, you're wasting those good looks. You've got to get in front of a moving camera.
Well, actually, I started out in law. I actually started, you know, because my family, I have three lawyers in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was while I was doing my master's degree, I got the opportunity to model. And that took me all over the world.
Now, wait, when you go to your family, who is all lawyers, and you say, hey, I'm going to go model.
Is well, that cool? You know, obviously, you can imagine they were not happy.
Right.
My father was not happy. And
mine wasn't either when I told him. You know,
they're still asking me when, you know, they still look at me as if to say, when am I going to complete this phase that I'm going through?
It doesn't matter how old you become either. That's always going to be the case.
Right.
Well, I told them, you know what? It's a lifelong phase.
There you go.
You know, parents, you know how they are.
Sure. Sure. Of course. Now, did you have a passion for the law, or is it something you went into because it was the family business?
Yeah, I went into it because of this family business. But, you know, I always had creative tendencies. So, you know, in the end, I just followed my heart, and it led me to Hollywood.
Yeah. And you, of course, you know, have a directing career as well. I mean, you're involved in all facets of the business. But you do love acting. That is your favorite thing right now?
Yeah, that's my passion. Between action and cut is really where I live.
You were Mr. Echo, and you were so great on that show. We loved you so much. And then all of a sudden you were gone. And we were like, hey, hey, what happened to Mr. Echo? We love
yeah,
that
you know
guy.
What it is? I mean, that was a great gig. It was a great character. But it came at a point in my career that, first of all, we'd always envisioned just doing a year on the show. And the character just exploded.
Yeah.
So obviously there was, you know, it was sad to see him go. But really, essentially, I'm a movie actor. And as these movies that are coming out display, I mean, you know, right now I got Killer Elite in the cinemas with Robert De Niro.
Seen it, love it.
And, you know, we got The Thing. I just finished a shoot with Sylvester Stallone in a movie called Bullet to the Head. Guess what that's about?
Love story.
And you know, I got a great movie coming out at Christmas where I play a paraplegic with a seven-year-old mentality. So, you know, and that movie's called Best Laid Plans. And that's really what I love. I love switching up and playing these different characters. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's speak of which.
On TV, you just, you know, you're on.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to do the same character for 5 years. You want to be able to do a character for 6 months and then move on and do another one. I understand that.
You understand me, man?
Yes, sir.
But I'm, you know, you can see Echo in the reprised in these other roles. How about that?
Now, let's talk about The Thing. This is a prequel to the.
Yes, this is a prequel.
So this comes before the story of the original.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prequel because, you know, obviously smartly the creators wanted to put their own stamp on it, and that gave them creative license to do that. But we had the original producer, David Foster, on board who was responsible for the John Carpenter version. And he really, you know, guided it in the sense that he dropped all those hints that the fans who love the original will love and really paid homage to it, but at the same time created its own little vibe. I mean, we have women in this one, which didn't have in the original. And with modern advancement in technology, the creatures that they've created, man,
yeah.
They've just knocked this thing out of the ballpark. It's going to take 10 years to catch up to what they created.
What drew you to this particular role?
Well, as I said, you know, I love switching up characters and playing different roles. And this is a departure from what I've normally played. You know, you see me play the tough bad guy, and here's a guy who's an all-around nice guy. Derek Jameson is a character I play, and he's a pilot who has a ferrying operation in the Antarctic, of all places.
Sure.
And he ferries these scientists to the Antarctic who make this discovery. So this is just one job that he wishes he never took. But
are you the monster? At some point, because the monster takes they take over the body, right, of the people that are there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what
it doesn't happens. Happen to you?
The thing kind of explodes out of the ice, and in order to exist, it has to assume the human form. And so you never really know who it's lurking, and it's very clever, it's very devious, and then you'll see it only when it explodes. So throughout the movie, you're trying to guess who it's in, and it could be me, it could be, you know, any one of us. I think it's like a really engaging movie for the audience because they get to play along with it.
I love humans, by the way, because you know that what happens in the movie is exactly what would happen in real life. A bunch of scientists come across an alien trapped in the ice, and they think, hey, we don't know anything about this. This potentially could destroy the world, but let's poke it with a stick. Let's see what happens. God forbid we say, hey, this is too big for us. Let's leave well enough alone. It's been fine under there for thousands of years.
You know, and when it escapes, we all go looking for it in minus 30 degrees.
Oh, that seems bad. Where did you film this?
We filmed this in Toronto at the tail end of winter, so it did really feel like we was in the Antarctic for a minute. But the funny thing is, spring came, and then the weather got considerably warmer, so the challenge then became, with all these layers, we were all sweating profusely. We had to enact the cold, so that was fun.
Well, the movie looks very suspenseful and very scary, which is exactly what you want in the theaters this time of year. It is called The Thing. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. You should definitely go see it. Adewale, I'm so glad we got a chance to chat with you. Good luck with the film, and I hope we get to talk to you again, sir.
Thanks, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. Enjoy the movie, and happy Halloween, guys.
We will. You too.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Next hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Dr. Drew will be here. Also, Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead. That's coming up, but first, who's better than Joe Rogan, ladies and gentlemen? Come on. Come on. with the Joe Rogan on stage at the Improv in Ontario this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Go to improv.com for hilarious stand-up. And, of course, the Joe Rogan Experience podcast at iTunes. How you been, Joe?
I'm great, man. And I've only been doing podcasts, so I'm going to try to keep my potty mouth in check.
Oh, yeah.
You forget. You lose your radio muscles.
Yeah.
You know, your reflexes to back off of a subject or a word that's about to come flying out.
Yeah, we have trouble with you normally when you're not doing the podcast.
I gave up on regular radio. You guys are the only ones left.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was telling
Alex. Take us down?
When I came here, I was like, you guys are like, there's been a radio zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And you guys are the lone signal on top of a mountain where you're walking with your backpack. Like, I hear them. They're alive. There's someone out there. Like, there's no like morning radio shows. There's very few across the country. So many of them have disappeared.
Yeah.
You can go down the hall and talk to Carson Daly for 15 seconds over a Lady Gaga song if you want.
Yeah, for 15 seconds. Yeah. You get a lot done.
The truth is that we have a new rating system, and it basically demolishes any type of show that doesn't play an old hit.
Yeah.
Just that's the deal. So shows like ours are going away everywhere. So
it's ridiculous. Well, wow. I guess
it's only a matter of time before ours is gone too. So every appearance could be your last, Joe, for you and us both.
But you guys are fun and interesting. So you just segue into the internet. I mean, you already have built-in listenership. You would have advertisers or people that work and collect advertisers. Do it now and just go do it online like Adam does, like Carolla does.
Yeah. Well, you're very kind. We appreciate that.
You guys can do it easy.
I don't want to work with Bean that long. I got to be honest.
Kevin's looking for a way out. Joe, let's talk about the last UFC fight, which appeared to be one of the most entertaining times you have ever had at work. I've never heard you enjoy a fight as much as you did that night.
Which one? Which fight?
Well, there was a lot of them. Chael Sonnen one is, you guys knew he was going to say something after the fight, right?
Well, I came up to him, you know, when he's putting his shirt on. He goes, give me the mic. Don't take it away from me until I'm done. He like said it under his breath.
After watching
him. Well, I like him. I'm a friend of his. You know,
here's what happened.
I was happy to. I think he's the best promoter in all of MMA.
Here's what happened with Anderson Silva sitting right there.
I'm here with Chael Sonnen. Chael, first of all, congratulations on a dominant performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
All right, so that wasn't really what Joe was looking for, but if Chael Sonnen wants to say that, let him say it.
Well, I'm always looking for them to express themselves. My position when I'm interviewing somebody after a fight is really all I'm trying to do is say words that get them to say words. You know,
right.
It doesn't really matter what I want. I just want them to try to express themselves.
And in your stand-up, you also want to not be raped. I think
that's a good move as well.
To stay away.
Yeah.
Now, he turns and starts barking at the Anderson Silva, and it struck me two ways. One, oh, no, that's kind of WWE BS.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like fake, I'm going to quit. But then he's crazy.
Well, first of all, it is WWE-like, but it's dealing with real fighting, so it doesn't bother me. It's promotion. You know, and he's a master at it.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he said it, we're going to have a loser leaves town bout, and then if he loses, he'll quit the UFC forever, and if Anderson Silva loses, he has to do the same. I mean, I love it. First of all, that's never going to happen.
Right.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, if they offer him $1 million to fight a couple months later, you're not going to take it? Of course. He's going to keep fighting. But it's fun. It's fun.
The one that you loved was the Leonard Garcia fight.
I was ridiculous.
Never seen a guy who, I mean, there was no attempt at defense. It was like, look, you're going to hit me, so just take your best shot. And then I'm going to take my best shot. It's like guys playing whatever game that is. We keep your arms at your side.
Well, you know what it is? He can be technical when he's not tired. And then when he gets tired, he gets crazy. And he just drops his hands and starts winging punches. But it's a terrible way to fight. Like if you want to have a long career, because he just comes charging in and eats bombs and throws his own bombs. But man, is it fun to watch. No one's funnier than that guy.
And then you interviewed both of them, and that was weird.
I've never done that before. We stood up. Both of us stood up after the fight. It was so crazy. We stood up in our seats. I never do that.
And here's my favorite part. He said to Nam Pham, I want you guys to fight forever, so will we see a rematch? And Nam Pham goes, nope. By the way, that's
the winner.
He's since changed his tune. He said he would like to fight him again. You know, if the UFC wants him to. I said I'd like to see them fight once a year for the rest of their life.
but you wouldn't expect a UFC fighter to say no. Like, that's enough.
Well, it was a tough fight.
Of course.
Know, I mean, he just got done. I'm sure his hands were sore. You know,
he was pooped.
Yeah, and then his legs were sore too. He took hard leg kicks and he landed some ridiculous punches, and that dude kept coming.
So after all of that, you've already had one of the best nights you've seen in a long time, and then you've got the main event with Edgar versus Maynard, which was also unbelievable.
Staggering.
Staggering is a great word for it. You can't believe that happened.
The most incredible resolve and will and determination. Now, Frankie Edgar, he's incredible.
I went back and watched the first round again, which Maynard dominated and looked like he threw at least three knockout punches for anyone else on the planet.
Well, yeah.
Connected perfectly, it looked like.
They say that there's until your brain goes, you know, once your chin goes, you can get hit and then you just shut off. We've all seen that before. A fighter no longer has a chin. But until it goes, there's a whole bunch of factors in what creates a knockout shot. And a lot of it is your will.
That first uppercut puts anyone else down.
A lot of people. Yeah, you're right. You have to have a ridiculous amount of desire to win. And Frankie Edgar has more than anybody I've ever seen ever.
That was the first round he got destroyed. And then again, he came back in the fourth round.
It's crazy.
It was unbelievable.
It was just wicked. It was awesome. It was. Like,
I love that you still get surprised too. By the way,
you can't not. You know, it's never fake because it's always exciting. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about working in for the UFC. I never have to pretend that it's awesome. You know, like if you're doing something else, you gotta have to jazz it up or pretend. The UFC, it's just awesome. It's just craziness.
Do you feel like when a fight goes to the ground and there is an exciting fight on the ground and there's a boring
fight? Sure,
yeah. Do you feel when there's a boring fight that you do have to?
No, because
if
I do, then people won't trust me anymore.
Yeah.
If I start saying, oh, you know, hey, this is the most amazing fight ever, they're like, what is he watching?
Yeah.
But if I see a real good technical matchup on the ground and guys are countering and attacking, it's my job to try to make it to explain it as clearly as possible so that you can take part in my enthusiasm.
Which works.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any of that. So I'm like, with the striking, I can go, hey, I've seen this before.
Right.
And I can tune you out.
A guy kicking a guy in the head is pretty obvious.
Right. Yeah. But if they're on the ground, you pretty much telegraph everything that's happening. You go, he's going for, and then he'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, are they listening to you? Or are you coaching them?
No, it's just standard moves. You know, it's MMA, or ground fighting rather, is like chess. There's pieces that move in certain directions. When I see a guy turn his body to the left and grab the guy's wrist, I go, oh, he's going for a Kimura. That's what you do in that position. So I see it, you know, and you have to be. The only way to really do commentary correctly is you got to actually have done it. So you have to really be able to know what move comes next. And then I have to explain it to everyone else in really clear terms. Like, his left arm is the issue. If he doesn't get his left arm, he's in trouble. He's got to pull it out. Oh, he's in trouble. Now he's in trouble. Now if he gets his foot locked over his knee, now he's done. He's done. He's done. You know, and then people see it. They go, oh, he's stuck in there.
You're talking
and his
right
arm
to
is
me.
Straight. Oh, that guy's
see?
In trouble. Now I get it.
Yep.
Otherwise, they put a photo
Greek.
Of you up in front of the broadcast booth, Kevin. All right, this is lowest common denominator guy that you need to explain
think
this
about
to.
You every time a guy's about to tap a guy. I'll say, all right, how would Kevin?
Please do.
What would Kevin?
This is
I can
the
see
voice
you watching
of
at your home.
Joe Rogan on the Kevin Abid Show. By the way, 2 weeks from Saturday is UFC 137, which is also going to be awesome because it's GSP versus Carlos Condit. And then you've got BJ versus Nick Diaz on that same
can
night.
Can we get
so
you back before then?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. You know, and then there's another one, the November 12th, the crazy Fox show, too.
The Fox one,
come,
right?
I'll come
yeah.
in for that, too. I'll come
Fantastic.
In again.
Joe that's is on stage ridiculous. At the Ontario Improv at the Ontario Mills Mall. Believe it or not, this same guy you're listening to also does hilarious comedy.
Hi.
And you can see him on stage at improv.com. Of course, the podcast is available at iTunes. And you can still get on Fear Factor, too. Joe's back with Fear Factor in 2012. FearFactorCasting.com. More with Joe after this on the Kevin Abid Show. Joe Rogan in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in town this weekend. You can see him on stage at the Ontario Improv at the Ontario Mills Mall just off the 15 freeway. Go to improv.com Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night.
Yeah.
The problem with Joe is that now I can no longer see him without thinking about the gray hair on his balls that he described in great detail at an April Foolish this 1 year.
Don't worry about it, dude. Sorry. It's on your mind. We can still be friends. It's all good.
I know, but I got that visual now because you explained yourself. You explained so well that that means that your body has given up.
Well, that is what it is. It's unfortunate to think about, but yeah, gray hair on your balls is your body saying, forget about making ball hair color. Let's concentrate on keeping this dude alive.
Right, it's a very really frightening thought.
We have to spend the limited energy that we have on what matters.
Yeah, well, you start seeing, as you get older, nobody wants to face it, but like for me, I can't read anymore. I can't read things that are too close up. Like if I take a piece of paper and get real close to my nose. Mm-hmm. I can't see what it is.
Right.
It's all blurry. And that
you're a young man, Joe. You're young.
I think I'm ruining my eyes by staring at a monitor all the time.
That could be.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, YouTube is going to ruin a lot of people's eyes.
Well, computers in general. I mean, you're staring at this bright thing just a few inches from your eyes, and radiation is blasting off of it all
day. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, I read this Tim Ferriss book where they were talking about cell phones affecting your sperm count.
Oh, really?
And it's really pretty obvious.
I thought that was just a rumor.
He's the 4-hour work week, 4-hour body guy, right?
Yeah. He came on my podcast, and a really interesting guy, very bright guy, fascinating book.
Crazy rich, too, right?
Is he rich?
He's crazy rich, isn't he?
I don't know.
Tim Ferriss, I think he's got an empire, dude.
Maybe. He seems like a real normal guy, so it's hard to tell.
Okay.
But I would imagine so. He's very smart. But anyway, in his book, he does a lot of weird things in his 4-hour body book. And one of the things he documents is his sperm count. He had his sperm count checked, and he was kind of shocked at how low it was. And he's like, I'm healthy. I'm exercising. I'm virile. I mean, what's going on? Well, it turns out that when you put your cell phone in your pocket right next to your balls, it has a legitimate effect on your sperm count. And it has a tangible one. Like you can measure it? Yes, you can measure it. Huh. And he took his cell phone out of his pocket. He stopped doing it like that. And his sperm count changed.
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
Why isn't this a bigger story?
He ate like Brazil nuts. Why isn't it bigger? Because people want to stick their head in the sand.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Kevin and I were talking about this in the break.
Yes, we do.
Unfortunately, spent last night looking at how cell phones were made. And I got so bummed out because I was reading about Foxconn. And, because everybody, when Steve Jobs died, everybody was talking about, well, the one thing is that he kind of uses slave labor. And I go, well, how much slave labor is it really? And then all these people were saying, well, it's not really that bad. Then you find out there's suicide nets around the buildings at Foxconn. Like, there's nets around the buildings.
Yeah, in China.
And what's Foxconn? What is that?
Foxconn is the company that creates all the parts for iPhones.
Oh, I see. And it's like a building that, it's like a compound that 100,000 people work in.
420,000.
Oh, is that what it's up to now?
All right. 420,000 people work there, and they jump off the buildings all the time.
It was in the news quite a bit about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, well, here's the crazy thing. The rationalizations from the fanboys. They were like, first of all, the amount of people that kill themselves is actually lower than the national standard. This is what someone actually said to me.
Okay.
And I'm like, the national standard, what, killing yourself or killing yourself at work? Okay? Because I guarantee you it's pretty high when it comes to killing yourself at work. That's kind of rare.
Yeah.
You jump off the building where you work. Like, you have to have nets there.
That is pretty.
And so the guys, they're not really sweatshops. I go, there's 420,000 people working 15 hours a day for $175 a month in no air conditioning. That is a sweatshop. It doesn't get any sweatier.
But Joe, in our defense, the iPhone's pretty cool.
It is amazing. The new one seems really cool.
Does it make me bad that I use the iPad and I'm fine with that?
I'm a total hypocrite. I have two iPhones.
By your balls?
Literally. One by my balls. And, I don't know.
You don't listen to your stuff that's coming out of your own mouth.
No, I'm not really concerned about my sperm count right now.
As long as it shoots
out something and I can look at it. I don't really care about the contents. I'm not trying to make babies right now.
Here's what's going on with Joe Rogan, in case you've never picked this up. There's a whole universe of information out there available on the internet. Joe is the only guy I know who's trying to see all of it.
I'm surfing.
He can't back away. It's like a guy who has to eat every piece of food in the world. That's what's happening to Joe's brain right now. right now, and eventually he's going to overload, or he's going to melt down, or something bad's going to happen to
him. Well, the problem is that it's that one click too many at like 12:05 at night.
Right.
And then I go, what? Really? And then you got to go, well, where do they get the minerals to make these cell phones? The Congo? Well, what happens there? Oh, militias and rapes and bullets and, oh, Jesus. Where else are there minerals? Afghanistan. Oh, well, that's why we're there. And then you start like going into the minerals. Like, apparently there's no humane way to do this. Like, everywhere where they get minerals to make cell phones, it's all conflict minerals. It's all people getting shot, and it's all like, because, but you know, it's they're pulling dirt out of the ground, and it's worth billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
You know, and you know, when you have that sort of a situation, you're going to have people that exploit it.
Here's the difference between you and me, is that I see the thing, and I go, really? That's unbelievable. And you know what else they do on phones? Porn. Go right to porn.
Shazam.
And I don't have that whole
night. Are you one of those guys that gets a droid just because you can access more porn sites because they're flash enabled?
Maybe.
You know, I thought about it. I said this. I just proposed this on Twitter, like, because I was trying to figure out, is there a karma-free cell phone? Is there one cell phone where I don't have to worry about it being built in a sweatshop? Could you get a cell phone, make it in America, pay person a fair wage, and then call it the iPhone Karma, and it costs me twice as much? But really, no, because of the minerals. You know, that's the answer that I came to.
So yeah, that's
extracting
when you
have to
minerals
go, oh, batteries,
well,
and
sucks to be
I
them.
Yes, but I mean, it's crazy that we live in a situation where everything is made with slave labor, essentially slave labor. We don't want to say it's slave labor, but let's be serious. If it's $175 a month and you live in dormitories and your 15 hours a day is your shift and people are jumping off the roofs because it sucks so bad, it's kind of like slave labor. I mean, you can call it whatever you want because you give someone a tiny, tiny stipend every month, but it's essentially slave labor. You can't do it in America.
I told you guys how funny Joe Rogan was going to be at the improv, right? I told you guys how hilarious this dude is.
I'm trying to find the comedy in this, man. I really am. I'm just, it's a symptom of all our other issues. About, like, we're so in debt. It's like we literally make things that we can't afford to make. So we have to make them in places where it allows us to afford it. So we have to treat somebody we don't know like garbage.
No, that's where you're wrong. We have to trust somebody else to treat them poorly.
It's true. Yes.
And then that's
right.
On them.
I guess.
Come on, Joe.
I wish there was something that you could
turn it off. You must turn it off.
But this all started because I have a friend who's a vegan, and you know, and he's always talking
those
about
people
animal
ruin everything.
BS. And I'm like, do you even worry about who makes your phone? You know, you're worried about all these animals you don't even know. There's, like, people that think, you know, cows can suck it, all right? They're a bunch of dummies out there
eating
grass.
You've lost me there, Joe. You've lost me there. Come on.
I don't worry about cows.
Cows can suck it.
I worry about cows. We're out of time. We are out of time.
Oh, now we're out of time.
I don't want them to suffer needlessly, but if they need to die so that I can have a steak, I think that's how it's supposed to be.
If you can take anything away from today's show, is that cows can suck it.
How dare you? Ontario Improv at the Ontario Mills Ball. The hilarious Joe Rogan, I promise, will not be talking about slave labor and minerals.
I won't. Unless I can find something really hilarious in that.
Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, go to improv.com, Joe Rogan Experience Podcast at iTunes. I'm trying to give you your plugs, Joe.
I love you, Bean.
Now we're out of time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world famous K-Rock at 7:56.
Dr. Drew Pinsky, perhaps you've heard of him, joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Right now, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on, dude?
Well, good news for several TV series that have got their network pickups already. CW Network picked up a full season of Sarah Michelle Gellar's Ringer.
All right.
I like that. Fantastic. Good.
So that's a full season order for that show. We'll be seeing that at least for a season. The Secret Circle and Heart of Dixie also got full orders from the CW.
You ever watch that Secret Circle?
I have not yet.
Mm-hmm. I could not live in that city. It's a supermodel city. It's a city of supermodels.
Smoking hot witches?
Every single person is hot.
That's the CW in a nutshell, my friend. That's the best looking network on television, I'll tell you right there. HBO has renewed Boardwalk Empire for a third season, so while you're enjoying the second, know that there's still more in store for Nucky and Friends. Sci-Fi Network has picked up a third season of its drama series Haven. So we can see that, if you like. Okay, whatever with the Haven Sci-Fi. What about my alphas?
Yeah,
what's going on with my alphas? Give me more alphas.
Have we not heard about alphas? Have we not heard about that?
I haven't yet. I'm still waiting.
You would have if somebody would have.
Oh, man, I love that show.
I like it, too.
NBC picked up 6 new episodes of Maria Bello's series Prime Suspect. Now, that's not a full season, but it's still encouraging for fans of that show. And they've also ordered a half a dozen more series episodes for Kathy Bates' Harry's Law.
So take that for what it's worth. There's another Die Hard movie in the works. Fox announced yesterday that the fifth Die Hard movie will be entitled A Good Day to Die Hard.
That's not true.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
That's not the real title, though. That's a comedy one that you and the joke writers came up with on the 13th floor, right?
No, no. This came from Fox.
Really? That's the name
of
it?
The joke writers over at Fox apparently have came up with the name for the fifth Die Hard movie. A Good Day to Die Hard.
I rented that over the weekend.
I bet you
did.
Sound
like good. The porn knockoff.
It's going to be out on Valentine's Day 2013. In this film,
Wait. A year from Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah.
All right. Just making a note for my calendar.
Circle your calendar.
All right.
Bruce Willis's Detective John McClane will be in Russia this time. He's gone global. His son apparently gets into some trouble in Russia, and McClane's got to go there and bail him out.
Okay.
And I don't mean just by writing a check. He's going to write a check that his 45 will cash.
Yay!
It's a good day to die hard. Coming to you from Fox.
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
That's his advice for him right there.
I will watch that.
We have official James Bond villain for the 23rd Bond. Rumored to be called Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Javier Bardem apparently will be the Bond villain.
He's a good
in that
guy.
Film. This is just the second time anyone who's ever won an Oscar has played a villain in a Bond movie. Any guesses as to who the other one was? If you look back on your encyclopedic knowledge of Bond movies?
I'm thinking back a year that I can remember.
You. You don't remember the last James Bond movie.
I don't.
Own all of them. I'll give you a hint. It was a Roger Moore Bond movie, back when Roger Moore played James Bond.
I will fail at this.
The villain was an Oscar winner.
I don't know.
Christopher Walken.
Oh.
Christopher Walken played Max Zorin in A View to a Kill in 1985. Last time an Oscar winner. So, Mr. Bond, you trying to kill me? I don't think so. I think you will die instead. It's a very slow Bond movie. It's a long time for him to get the... You know how Bond villains love the monologue about their plans.
They do.
So, I can see you're wondering why I have this hot air balloon above Silicon Valley.
Don't care. Just get to the point.
You see, 007.
Right. Get to the
point. Just went on and on that scene. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Simon is 70 years old today. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones down there on the sidelines. Come here, Tony Romo. Wanted to get away from me.
He's got to be having a very enjoyable season down there in Texas this year.
He is 69 years old today. Sammy Hagar turns 64. You know why? He can't turn 65.
Oh! Wow! Kyle. Wow.
Respect. Game recognized game.
That's right. Joey Belladonna of Anthrax is 51 years old today. Kelly Preston's 49.
Come on.
Kate Walsh. See, he had a popular song called I Can't Drive 55.
You don't get it, Kevin? Come on.
Kate Walsh is 44 years old. Sacha Baron Cohen turns 40. Matt Hughes, UFC fighter, is 38. And Ashante, 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kevin, you were listening to Love Line on the way back from poker the other night?
Yep.
And what did you tell me about the crazy thing that was going on with Dr. Drew and his guest?
It was the lead singer of Ministry, I think. And he was asking Dr. Drew if he would throw up on him. Do I have that right? Do I have that right, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, that was pretty much right.
That happened.
That happened. He hit a couple high notes, and that was one of them.
Okay, good.
I was sick. I was just getting over this sort of upper respiratory infection, and I was feeling like throwing up. And he goes, "That would be good. Let's go.
Come on,
bring it."
What is going on that show?
It was bizarre.
Mind you, this is the guy that does that. What's that guy's road show name?
Jim Rohn's Circus Science.
Jim Rohn. Yeah. Exactly. Last time we saw him, they were putting nasogastric tubes in, emptying each other's gastric contents, and drinking.
God, that was unbelievable.
That was happening.
Drew, how come you get sick so much? A, you're a physician. B, it's not like you have little kids at the house anymore. Why is it you're sick so much lately?
It's been a rough year, I got to admit. This was just pulled. This was not a big deal. And frankly, it didn't knock me down very hard at all. So it's no big deal.
Okay, all right.
You know what? Here's the every time I travel, the reality is every time I travel, you come in contact with a lot of people. That gets me every time.
Yeah, I understand. All right, we got a couple things we want to ask you about, and let's start with the Michael Jackson trial, which I know your network, HLN, where you can see Dr. Drew weeknights at 6 West Coast time. Your network has been covering it. A lot of interest in this case with Dr. Conrad Murray. I guess they're very, very close to ending the prosecution case. That's going to be like today or tomorrow, and then it's the defense's turn. Any thoughts so far as to what you've seen as a fellow physician?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've got a head of steam about this case now. One thing that has changed direction on the defense side is they've dropped this nonsense about Michael Jackson injecting himself. That's over.
I thought that was their entire plan.
It was. I don't know what their new plan is, but their old plan clearly has been completely squashed. Okay. So that's over. Number two, I got my hands on the interrogation report, the entire report from Dr. Murray, the one that they've been playing in court.
Yes, it's like 2 hours.
And now, since reading that, my opinions have, crystallized.
Oh.
The magnitude of the mistreatment of Michael Jackson is stunning. What's even more stunning is how sick poor Michael Jackson was. I mean, let me just give you a few highlights.
All right, okay.
Michael Jackson had received so many IV injections of drugs from doctors that he had no veins anywhere in his body. He had junky veins. He had junky veins throughout his body, yeah. And yet had never injected himself once. He had gone to so many doctors on so many occasions. We're talking about thousands, maybe tens of thousands of injections, all of illicit, addictive, dangerous drugs.
Wow.
And in this interrogation, Murray chronicles, he really marched in there. The only way I can understand why the attorney let him tell this story is he believed he was going to exonerate himself. He was going to tell everybody, well, look what a great job I did. And he proceeded to tell this tale that is horrifying of multiple doctors and multiple drugs and unbelievable things being administered to this poor man. Why? Because he's my friend and it's just what he wanted.
Okay, let me ask you this about Michael Jackson. And I know it's very difficult to put yourself in his shoes as the victim here. Was he just stupid or just in so much pain that he was willing to try anything to get some relief?
Michael had unlimited power and unlimited money and was able to, his denial was very unusual because he was able to tell himself, I'm going to my doctor friend, tell them what I need, and this is what they give me.
Right.
This is what the doctors tell me to do.
He had to wake up every day feeling like crap, though. He can't have been pleased with the way his body looked and felt, and he can't have thought, I'll continue doing this because it's working for me.
He woke up feeling great because he's no longer in withdrawal. He'd go to bed feeling like ass because he would all of a sudden be in withdrawal and desperate. That's when he would start demanding medication. But another interesting feature now in the autopsy report, it showed that he had been underventilating, breathing so shallowly for so many years that his lungs had actually become a mass of scar.
Wow.
He literally wasn't breathing. Sense about him being a healthy man, nonsense. He had no veins. He had scarred up lungs. He was desperately underweight. I mean, this was a mess, and it was all perpetrated not just by Murray. Murray was the last in a long line of failure by my peers, a profound case in point why you should not treat your health care by plastic surgeons and super specialists. He never saw a generalist, except Deepak Chopra, by the way, who when Deepak confronted him about his drug addiction, was immediately dismissed.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know what's funny about that trial is the defense keeps saying, hey, but Michael wanted it.
Right.
And I keep saying to myself, if I told my doctors I wanted it, because they're the doctor, they would say no.
Well, generally, yes, but there's two sides to that equation. One is, well, he was such a special person. You know, we wanted to make him happy, and this is just what he wanted. They didn't know what the hell they were doing, number one. And number two, I never met a drug addict that didn't want something from me, and that's not my job to give them that. Not my cares to give them that.
Drew's yelling now. Hey, take it down, Drew. Do you need a Valium?
It makes me so upset. I will.
One more question for you, Drew, on the Michael Jackson thing. There were some who thought that it was unnecessary for them to show in open court a fully nude Michael Jackson laying dead on a table. What were your thoughts on that decision?
I thought it was was awful. I thought it was, you know, again, the victims in this case are also a couple of several children, his children who, but for the grace of God, apparently are amazingly well put together people. And
yeah,
he apparently was a good father to them. And, you know, there's some real positives in here. We don't need to traumatize them again. But all my attorney friends who I asked that same question of said, when it's a murder case, you got to see this body. There's got to be a body. You got to show it. And that's just the way it goes.
And that, so that the jury can see that in their minds, basically.
Exactly.
They can call back on that.
And that photo.
I wanted to find out if he had the Mickey Mouse tattoo. Remember that whole thing? With the little kid, there was a trial.
Oh, the kids who claimed they could identify his genitals based on the Mickey Mouse.
I tried to find the Mickey Mouse thing. Kevin,
you preoccupied by very strange things. But anyway, but it does trigger another thing that I have such a head of steam on this case now, having read the facts. And this business, he's so childlike. He was so childlike. In my world, that's called psychopathology. That's called you need help.
Yeah.
The childlike is not an asset. That's like somebody who's really in trouble. And nobody helped him with that either. It's like,
cutting in and out. We are actually losing Dr. Drew, but we're out of time anyway. Yeah, you're right. Michael Jackson, it was almost arrested development. I mean, it seemed like when he started becoming famous at 11 is when he stopped growing emotionally as a human. Dr. Drew, weeknights on HLN at 6 p.m. West Coast time. Check your local listings for the CW afternoon appearances of Life Changers and, of course, five nights a week on Loveline. Drew, you're the very best, my friend. Thanks, as always, for coming on the show.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, Drew.
Time for the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So you're telling me that Caesar, now making his third appearance on the Kevin and Bean show as a contestant to try to win Coldplay tickets. Is that what you're telling me?
Give him tickets.
Yeah. Caesar, here's what I'm going to say, though. If you don't win today... Seriously.
Give up.
We don't want to talk to you again.
I know. I'm trying for my girlfriend so hard.
Well, you're trying poorly.
Aww, how do you keep... Nice. We don't even have time. I'm fascinated that you keep getting through, though, because some people call, they get a busy signal for years. All right, that's going to be contestant number one. Contestant number two is going to be on line seven, and this is going to be Belkis. Belkis, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
It's going well.
All right, here's the way the game is played. Lisa and Dave are going to be helping you guys, Caesar and Belkis, and they are going to be in, what do we have, 45 seconds on the clock?
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
They are going to be trying to get you to come up with the titles of Coldplay songs. They're going to describe, give you hints as to what titles they're looking for without using the words in the title. If you know it, obviously, go ahead and say it, and we'll move on to the next one. If you don't know it, you can pass if you want, and then if there's any time left at the end, you can come on back and try to pick it up. Whoever gets the most correct titles for Coldplay songs in that 45 seconds, they're the ones who win the tickets. Does everybody understand the game?
Yeah.
All right, Caesar, I hope you lose. Okay, here we go.
All right, we'll do Battle of the Sexes here today. So Caesar, Dave is going to be your man, and he's going to be giving you clues. If you're ready to go, we'll get right into it, okay?
So who's going first, Dave?
Dave is going to go first,
okay.
And he's going to be giving clues to Caesar.
So Caesar.
Good luck to both of you, and go.
All right, when you get cold, what do?
You shiver.
All right.
Nice.
It's one of the colors of the rainbow.
One of the colors, yellow.
Yes. All right. This is, it's another word for life. In Mexican, it's like you're excited.
Viva la vida?
Yep.
Come on.
All right. This is someone who works in a lab.
The scientist.
All right. And then when you jump out of an airplane, you need a?
When what?
When you jump out of an airplane, what do you use?
Parachutes.
Yeah!
The extra, go the extra one. Go the extra. Oh, okay. When you cry, what do you have?
Fix you, talk.
No, when you cry, what comes out of your eyes?
Too late.
Tears.
All right. He got it.
But too late.
Wow.
It's too late. All right, so shiver, yellow, viva, scientist, parachutes, five for
nice.
Five. And you were going for the bonus one that we only have on there for in the case of a tiebreaker, but that is going to be very difficult, Belkis. I'm sorry, you and Lisa really have your work cut out for you here. Plus, Kevin's already blown the tiebreaker, so if you get all five, too, we've got nowhere to go. So, I like improv, but let's, for God's sakes. All right, you guys ready to play?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, when you break the law, you might get into...
What was that again?
When you break the law, you might get into...
Pass.
Okay. tick, tick, tick. It's on the wall. It tells you
clock.
Okay. If something is broken, then it needs to be... when you glue it together, what are you doing to it?
Oh, my God. Pass.
sorry.
Really?
This is how fast. This is how fast your voice travels.
Speed of sound.
Okay.
Yes.
So I invite you to come to where I live. So now you are. Where are you?
Clearly,
okay.
Belkis, when you break the law, you might get into. Come on, with not coming up with trouble. And then when something is broken, we want to fix you. And then the last one was in my place is where you'd be. So clearly, you are not the winner. I can't believe Caesar, after three attempts, is going to be at breakfast with Coldplay. How about that?
I'm going to have sex with his girlfriend.
Now he says
don't succeed, try again. He says he's winning him for his girlfriend. I'd like to suggest that she comes with a friend.
Yeah. It leaves him at home. Right, exactly.
I'm just saying, three tries.
Thanks for playing the Kevin and Bean title fight.
I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again right now. In many ways, I think we are living in the golden age of television. It's unbelievable. Shows like Dexter and Boardwalk Empire. I mean, it's just Mad Men. One show right after another, you just go, wow, TV just doesn't get any better. And The Walking Dead has got to be on that short list of the most entertaining shows on television. It's been gone for a while, but it's back this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We could not be more delighted to welcome back to the program the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, joins us. Hey, Mr. Kirkman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Sure has been a long time since we've had new Walking Dead on our TV. Make them faster.
We'll do what we can.
Now, last season was 6 episodes. Do you have more?
Yes, it's going to be a 13-episode season this year. So,
fantastic.
You know, it's going to be double the episodes.
All right.
Now, you, of course, created The Walking Dead. I think, fans of the show by now have heard the backstory of how they took it from the page and put it on the TV. And you have said, I've seen you, interviewed since the show hit the air, you've been incredibly satisfied with the way your vision has ended up in live action, which I understand is sometimes very rare in your business.
Well, I mean, it's also very rare that I'm involved in the process 100%. I'm actually in the writer's room on the second season full time. So if the second season ends up being better, it's because of me. And if you don't like it, I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, I see how that works. Can you just sit in the corner and hold up a comic book? Nope. Comic book. Go back to it. Is that you?
Half the time, it's the other writers in the writer's room reminding me of things that happened in the comic. So, you know.
I gotcha.
It must have been really interesting because you do have to make some changes in real life versus the printed page. But also, you want to make some changes and go off in different directions that maybe you haven't explored before. Did you have a lot of interaction with your fans of the original, the fanboys out there who, you know, maybe had a lot of opinions they wanted to share with you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I keep in touch with my fans pretty closely. I have a letters column in the back of my comics that I, you know, read and respond to letters from them, there. And I'm also on Twitter more often than I should be. So you know, I'm out there getting feedback from those people. But I'll be honest with you, mostly I don't listen to them.
Yes, because you can't make anyone happy, right?
Yeah, they want conflicting things, and you kind of have to, steer the course and just kind of do what you feel is best.
Were you surprised, and be honest, please, were you surprised at how phenomenally successful this series was right out of the gate from episode one?
I was completely blown away. I mean, I always had only just wanted it to do well enough to continue. So when I found out what the ratings were, the first thing I said was, I don't know what that means. And then once they explained to me what that meant, I was absolutely blown away.
Wait a minute. This is successful? What do I do now?
You ended up writing an episode of last season as well?
Yeah, I wrote episode 4 of last season.
And that was
my favorite. I'm writing for the premiere and the finale for this second season.
Is that a way different skill set, or as a guy who's been a writer for a long time, did you find it relatively easy to change modes?
It's a somewhat different writing process, you know, because, you know, comic books and television is a little bit different. But, slipping into that hasn't been too very difficult for me. And luckily, I like to say that writing for TV is like writing with a safety net because you're working with a writer's room and there's such a long revision process. It's, it's a pretty easy transition.
Does it get frustrating, that revision process, because, you know, it gets changed and maybe you liked what you had before?
I don't mind that because most of the time it's improvements. The only thing that really bugs me is when I write comics, I write what I want to write, and then the artist is drawing that within minutes of me finishing pages. Like,
right.
It's a very fast process, and I really don't revise much of anything, and so the revision just gets tedious for me. I'm like, really? Sure. Are we still concerned with this? Like,
yeah.
I thought we had this. I thought this was good. Like, what the heck?
Who's the worst writer on the show? Who do you hate?
Probably me.
Good question, though, Kevin. This is the voice of Robert Kirkman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about The Walking Dead, which is coming back. Season 2 premiere is going to be this Sunday night at 9 on
on AMC. Kevin, what's this clip we have?
Well, this is them at the CDC, and this is the big finale of last season, which is, hey, come to the CDC. We're the last safe spot. That's our goal. That's where everything will turn around. Then they get there, and things are falling apart, and the guy's going to set off a bomb, basically, and they're all going to die.
There is no hope. There never was.
There's always hope. Maybe it won't be you. Maybe not here, but somebody, somewhere.
What part of everything's gone do you not understand?
Listen to your friend. She gets it. This is what takes us down. This is our extinction event.
This isn't right. You can't just keep us here.
One tiny moment, a millisecond, no pain.
Yeah, but no. Hey, no. Hey.
Is there a happy way out of this?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, we're very mindful of, you know, trying to keep an element of hope in the series because we don't want it to be just too dreadful to watch. But, you know, it is a bleak, you know, kind of world. So you're going to have to be true to that.
I do love so much, and by the way, we should give a shout out to how incredible the actors are in this show, and I'm sure that I don't know how much you had to do with that or not, but what a phenomenal cast, because you got to really be deep to be able to play the people who find themselves in this situation. I mean, imagine if this did happen in real life, humans, the decisions that humans would have to make, the way they would have to live, that completely turns their life upside down. I mean, it really is such a terrifying thing.
Yeah, also, you know, these actors are living with this material, you know, 18 hours a day for a good, you know, 6-7 months. And so, you know, I got to give them credit for, you know, waking up every morning and going to set and crying and screaming and arguing with each other and being upset. I mean, it's got to be a pretty intense job, and they all handle it really well.
If I'm on that show, I don't take a shower. I just go home. I go, look, I'm not going to sit in the chair again and just get all made dirty. I'll just sleep in it.
None of them shower. That's why I don't go to set very often.
Sweet. Nice.
We had Sarah Wayne Callie's in here the other day, and we just fell in love with her. She was just amazing. She is great, yeah. One more question, and perhaps you've answered this, but I have not heard. Is it very different going into season two without Frank Darabont there? Because he was kind of, you know, for a lot of people, that was the marquee star power name that got, you know, your ears pricked up when you heard he was involved, and now he's absent for season two. How's that been?
Well, it's, you know, it's somewhat different just because, you know, it's a you know, that guy's not there. But it's been a pretty smooth transition since Glenn Mazzara has been working, you know, hand in hand with Frank and I since the very beginning of the second season. And so, you know, he's been able to kind of step in as showrunner and keep the thing running, you know, smoothly. And he's got a tremendous amount of, you know, television experience. He worked on The Shield, for Christ's sake. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's really talented. And, you know, he's been able to just kind of move in and take over and, you know, keep the thing running smoothly. So I think when everybody watches the show, they're really not going to be able to tell much of a difference. I mean, it's an interesting behind-the-scenes problem, but thankfully it's all, you know, behind the scenes.
Can't wait. Sunday night, AMC, 9 o'clock, The Walking Dead returns for Season 2. Mr. Kirkman, thank you for your time today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Why a guy with no arms and no legs needs to climb a mountain is beyond me, but we will discuss coming up, and we'll tell him to stop it coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph joins us. Time for the show, Biz Beat. What's going on?
They should just shoot him up the mountain.
I agree.
Put one of those human cannonball cannons and just boom.
I like
it. There. He's partway there. And then you shoot him again and again and again.
I think a big enough cannon, you can put him right on top.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just saying he's aerodynamically designed for just such a trip.
Muggs, don't you know anything at this point to not jump in and try to help somebody when they can't come up with a word?
True.
Wow. Jesus.
Muggs can just do no right.
That is true, by the way.
That's true.
That is actual
that's
truth.
Fact. That's science.
That is fact.
Some rough time.
That's not brown rice.
Time being you don't have to work with him like I do, Ralph.
I do work
with
him.
Oh, wait. That's right.
And, still, it's hard being Bucks. Hey, remember that plan I told you that Universal Pictures had that was going to allow Tower Heist, their new Ben Stiller Eddie Murphy comedy, to be rented on video on demand for $60 just 3 weeks after it came out in theaters? You could have it in your home living room right there.
And we were trying to figure out if anyone would order it.
It was an experiment to see how it would work in two major cities, and they were going to test it with the cable network. And you, for $60, you could watch it while it was still in theaters.
So your whole family could see it for that one price. Just do it at home instead of in the theaters.
That was the first story. Then I told you that Cinemark theater chain said, well, then we're not going to show your damn movie at all if you're going to do that, because that's when we start making money on a movie, is after the third week it's in our theaters. And so we're going to boycott your movie. Then the Regency theater chain said, you know what, we're going to do the same
really?
Thing. Really? Yeah. And Universal said they were still planning on releasing it in Portland, Oregon, Atlanta, Georgia, via Comcast
video, cable rather, to people who wanted to watch it for $60. Okay. Well, they have thought the whole thing over again and said, maybe that's not the best plan. We're going to scrap that idea. So it looks like you won't be able to see Tower Heist in your home for $60.
It can't be done.
Yeah, that wasn't my plan.
Okay. Well, you don't live in Portland, Oregon, or Atlanta, Georgia. But I guess the theater owners won this battle, so they're pulling the idea. However, Universal says they're still planning to test their early video on demand model some way, somehow, just not now. When you least expect it.
Out of the blue.
Movies will be coming into your home. While we're talking about movies, that long talked about John Gotti Jr. movie may not be happening after all. John Travolta was supposed to star as Gotti Jr. Al Pacino was going to be in the film as well. Apparently, it's those salaries that is causing a question mark as to whether this movie will actually be made. The salaries of the major players, Travolta's getting $10 million for the film. Pacino's getting $7 million. The guy backing the movie says he may not be able to finance it. Director Barry Levinson's supposed to get $4 million. Joe Pesci's supposed to get a high paycheck. Lindsay Lohan's supposed to get a decent amount of money. And now there's a writing of the budget. They may not have enough money to pay everybody and get the film made.
They should pay John Travolta this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And just fire Lindsay Lohan. Because really, nobody wants to see her anymore.
I'm sure they're not paying her all
that
much.
She's the kiss of death. You can't get a movie made with her anymore. I think that's the problem. And since we were talking about different ways of distributing film, some people, Kevin, don't even pay for a movie, like, Kevin. They will just illegally download it, Kevin. They will be what's called pirating, Kevin. And they will just, you know, they go to the BitTorrent site and just download an entire film.
How dare you?
Illegally, for free, Kevin. And
you're saying Kevin a lot. Are you meaning to do
that? I don't know what you're
talking
about. I'm just telling the story here. Huh. This website
maybe
called,
you're hearing Kevin a lot as he describes the practice.
Guilty conscience, perhaps, Kevin? This website, torrentfreak.com, Kevin, has released a list of the most, Kevin, pirated films for the year. Top 10 pirated films, Kevin, that you can
Stop
get
saying
for,
that!
What? Say what?
You're saying Kevin a lot.
I'm not saying anything of the kind.
If Bucky Larson is on this list, then we'll know that Kevin had an influence.
Bucky Larson! You want to download Bucky Larson?
Here are your top 10 most illegally, Kevin, downloaded films. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, Incredible Hulk, and The Departed.
You know right now Kevin is thinking, all right, seen it.
In the theater.
A three-way tie at 10th, 9th, and 8th place. Kick-Ass was 7th. Star Trek, 6th on the list. The Hangover, 5th. 17 million illegal downloads.
Wow.
Inception, 18 million. A tie for 2nd and 3rd. Transformers and The Dark Knight, each with 19 million illegal downloads each.
Kevin.
The winner with 21 million illegal downloads at number one. What do you think?
Is it considered a winner?
Was the most downloaded film?
I don't. Hangover 2.
No.
I don't know.
Now, this would make an argument that illegal downloads don't really hurt box office all that much.
If it was a hugely successful
If you know what
movie.
The number one movie is.
Avatar.
Indeed. Avatar has been illegally downloaded, and yet it is the highest grossing film of all time. So a person could argue, in fact, with many of these films, that illegal downloads don't really hurt the box office, which is what the movie studios forever have complained about, the fact that piracy greatly cuts into their box office revenue. But these are the most illegally downloaded films, Kevin, and they still made a ton of money at the box office and on DVD and through more legal distribution.
If anybody wants to borrow 9, 7, 6, 5, and 3, I have those available.
Yes. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Simon is 70 years old today. Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones is 69. Joey Belladonna of Anthrax turns 51 years old. Kelly Preston's 49. Kate Walsh, lovely and talented actress, is 44. Sacha Baron Cohen is 40 years old. UFC fighter Matt Hughes turns 38. Ashanti is 31 years old today. And get a lot of love for my Sammy Hagar joke.
No, you're not.
So in case you hadn't heard it, I just wanted to repeat the fact that Sammy Hagar is
not interested.
64 years old today.
Why, Ralph?
You know why, Kevin?
No.
Because he can't turn 65!
Yeah! Better with the singing.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Well, I like it.
Life's a rehearsal. Uh-huh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Nope.
Oh, sweet.
Finally, right, Ralph?
Finally. Indeed, sir.
Nope.
Come on, who's with me? Sing it if you know it.
Halloween, Halloween, oh Halloween.
Holiday is here, my friends.
Ghostly things are gonna happen. Ooh ah, Halloween spooks outside my window.
I don't hear you chiming in, Lisa May.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Not interested.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
No! No! A lot of kids very, very happy by playing this today. No! I've been answering the business line a lot during the other songs that we're playing, and the kids are calling up. They're going, when is it time for Halloween spooks?
No.
It's got to be time for Halloween spooks.
No.
We're a couple of weeks away from Halloween, so.
My God, who the hell cares?
What's with the cutting it short, for God's sake?
It's
I thought we'd just get a little taste here.
A little taste,
play more
like
as we get
too strong.
It's too good.
You give a starving man a little taste of pudding?
Yeah, because if he eats all at once, he's going to get sick.
No, but or you might save his life.
You have to cut it with water, or it's too powerful. Your brain will explode if you ingest all of it at once.
It's Halloween spooks concentrated.
Yeah, it's too much.
Exactly.
Too much. But we got a couple weeks to go. We'll be getting a little deeper into the spooks as we get closer to the holiday.
That's Spookus Interruptus right there is what that is.
Sorry about that.
I'm not finished yet.
Well,
you left me with blue spooks.
You have to take care of that on your own time.
I guess so.
Time for the showbiz beat now at the Kevin DeBeat Show.
There's very little that Beat and I agree on.
Very little.
But one thing we do agree on. Sweet, sweet Halloween spooks.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
It's very special.
I'm waiting a long time for that. And then he cuts me short. Cuts me off.
It might be best if you just let it go.
It's like a pusher. Gives me a little taste for free, and then I got to come back. I have to pay for the rest.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Halloween spooks. That's
the window. Oh, yeah.
That isn't good for you.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the Showbiz Beat that we had an official title for the fifth in the Die Hard franchise.
What was it?
A Good Day to Die Hard.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, Fox has announced
the porn spinoff?
Latest in the Bruce Willis Die Hard franchise. It'll be out on Valentine's Day of 2013. And what better film to take your significant other to on a Valentine's Day?
How do they pick that far out? They had to
a good day to Die Hard. We have to pick we'll pick a holiday to be good for a Die Hard movie. Oh, Valentine's Day. What says love more than a box of chocolates, a bouquet of flowers, and gun-toting terrorists and explosions?
Overruled! Hey.
I would not be surprised, Ralph, and you know how they are in the movie business these days, if Memorial Day and the 4th of July are already taken for 2013 for big action movies.
Probably true.
Yeah.
In this film, McClane's son, Detective John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, will make his first appearance in the series. He needs his dad to come to Russia to get him out of trouble. And I think those Ruskies have bitten off a little more than they can chew when John McClane shows up.
I have a clip if you'd like to hear it.
Yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, comrade.
That's Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude.
It's not at all. A good day to die hard. I want to thank listener John Allen, who wrote in some other potential considered titles for the new Die Hard flick that Fox passed on.
We've got writers now. This is great.
Only the good Die Hard is suggested. They passed on that one. Live and Let Die Hard. Did not go for it. And Live Fast, Die Hard, Leave a Bald-Headed Corpse. They did not also
that's my favorite.
Sign off on, probably because Bruce Willis didn't care for that.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. Did you know that some actors turn down roles?
He's a good'un. The new James Bond movie, the 23rd in that franchise, Skyfall. Now, that's
overruled.
Not official. It's not official yet. They think it's Skyfall because they've noticed that Sony, United Artists, is snapping up all of the domain names with James Bond and Skyfall in them. They're buying a ton of those domain names, so the assumption is that the title of the film will be Skyfall. We have an official villain now that we've got their first Bond girl that's been announced. Javier Bardem will be playing the bad guy in the movie. He confirmed that on Nightline last night, but admitted, I cannot give you many details, Frindle.
said.
So we've got a new Bond film. Only the second time ever an Oscar winner has played a Bond film. The first one was Christopher Walken in A View to a Kill in 1985. Widely considered the worst of the James Bond films.
Is it really?
It's right up there with Octopussy, yeah.
All right.
Another Roger Moore debacle.
Here's Xavier Bardem. Nice to see him.
Yeah, good old Xavier Bardem.
Wow.
The spoof of the Bond movies, the Austin Power movies, are in the news today, not just because Mike Myers is returning to that franchise. You know, the next Bond movie is going to be, the next Austin Powers movie is going to be from Dr. Evil's perspective, rather. They're going to flip it. And you're going to see the movie will be basically about Dr. Evil with Austin Powers coming in and out. Try to freshen up the franchise.
People,
baby!
Oh, hey, right.
People still looking forward to that, aren't they?
I can't wait for that impression to come back. We're going to be calling Austin Powers, talking to him. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you care? Do I make you horny? Oh, behave.
The guy who played Random Task in the first Austin Powers movie, he's the guy who threw shoes at people and killed them.
Sure.
He has been charged in the death of his cellmate.
Wait, this is real life?
Yeah.
Ew.
His name was Joseph Son.
Hey!
And he was incarcerated at Wasco State Prison. And now apparently authorities there are charging him with the death of his cellmate in that prison.
Why charge him? I mean, if it's just the two of you, and one of you ends up dead.
I'm not sure about the circumstances of the murder. I mean, he could have been murdered in the exercise yard or something. He could have been shivved in the showers. We don't know, Kevin. Easy there, hanging judge. Why don't you just wait until the facts roll in? How about, I don't know, how about a trial first before you send a man to his death?
But if there's two people and then one dies.
Their relationship was they were cellmates. I'm not saying, you know, it wasn't a locked room mystery where they found the body and him holding the shiv.
I thought it was, all right.
He's been charged with the murder of his cellmate.
You've been working with Kevin long enough to know that facts are not essential to a conclusion. Come on.
Better for 100 innocent people go to jail than one to go to Mango Free. How you live yourself? How you sleep at night?
I wish that was an exaggeration.
Kevin asked.
That was one of the greatest moments ever.
I'm a defense attorney one morning.
I wish you were overdoing that, but you are not.
I wish you folks had heard that, unfortunately. We can't find that audio, can we?
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. More cinematic criminal news. Didn't know we had a whole section for cinematic criminal news, did you?
No.
Jamie Whalen, who played Draco Malfoy's sidekick Vincent Crabbe in 6 of the 7 Harry Potter movies, he's in trouble with the law. He is 22 years old. He is facing a slew of charges connected with his alleged involvement in this summer's riots in London.
Really?
Yeah, most serious charges that he allegedly threw a Molotov cocktail. He's also facing drug charges after police discovered 15 marijuana plants in his bedroom.
Guy knows how to live.
He sure does. Apparently, it was his 2009 marijuana arrest that led to his character being written out of the final movie in the series, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
So he was in every one up until that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But his pot bust got him thrown out of the movies. But life isn't good enough for you, pal. You're already in the Harry Potter movies. You got to start growing pot and selling it on the side and throwing Molotov cocktails, for God's sakes.
Sometimes they need to be thrown.
Sometimes what? Molotov cocktails need to be thrown.
What are you talking about?
You said out
I didn't
loud.
Say that. Your mug?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, Jesus. Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
What's going on with Weird?
One of Bean's heroes. Said that he turned down an offer to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Good for him. It's possible. It is possible.
He told Billboard.com that it's just not his thing and that he really doesn't like any kind of reality television.
Okay. Ooh, what do you do with that, Bean?
Says he realizes that millions of people watch the show. It would have been great for his career, but he said no. I would have loved to have seen Weird Al dance with the Stars. That would have been hilarious. All gangly, all arms and legs going on every which direction.
You know he's got to wear the Hawaiian shirt.
Hair
that would
going
not be
every place. Oh, it'd be the best.
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
That's true.
I don't think that's true. I think he's still alive.
I don't think it's Weird Al Yankovic either.
Don't tell Hank Hill, man.
He does say he wants to get back on the big screen, though. He wants to make another movie.
He'll never, ever top UHF.
Well,
I know
what
that
could?
Much.
What could,
exactly.
Blockbuster UHF. Which was a failure at the box office, but it became a cult classic on home video, and apparently he thinks there's an audience out there for another Weird Al movie. Audience
there
of
absolutely
one.
Absolutely is. No, one there is. Absolutely is an audience for a Weird Al.
Name is Bean Baxter.
That's correct.
I just read an article, a review of his concert tour that he's on right now in Rolling Stone magazine, where these words were written. This man is a national treasure, says
Exciting
Rolling Stone
story.
Magazine. And I'm telling you, they're right. And why isn't Weird Al in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Ralph? Why haven't we spent any time trying to get that campaign going?
I don't know. I think maybe because all of his art is based on other people's art.
But it doesn't mean he's not creative, and you can't ask for more longevity in a career. I mean, all the acts that he's parodied are long gone, yet he still plugs along for a new generation.
Ralph, this conversation does not end unless you just bail.
I understand.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear.
I apologize for not recognizing that. I'm now moving on. All right.
I got another hour of my Al chunk. Just
I know you
know.
Do
it on the podcast.
I know you do. All right, let's get to Celebrity
Birthdays. I don't get invited on the podcast. Yeah.
Before I do get to that, though, did you hear about the 81-year-old Florida man?
Florida?
This isn't a joke, by the way.
All right.
He didn't walk into a bar. This is a real deal. All
right. He's with a nun and a rabbi.
No, he is my favorite person in the world. I just saw this story come across my desk before I stepped in here, and I just wanted to talk briefly about it.
Okay.
He has been arrested by police on 3 counts of sexual battery. But what makes the story interesting is that he's also been charged with 2 counts of practicing medicine without a license.
Uh-oh.
Because he was going door-to-door, claiming to be a physician, offering free breast exams.
Yay!
To women who would answer the door.
And that worked once?
Worked twice.
What?
No. Yes. Yeah.
What?
He would carry a doctor's black bag, went to an apartment complex in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida, started knocking on doors.
Oh, that's tight.
Finally knocked on the door of a 36-year-old woman.
What?
Said, I am visiting on behalf of the local hospital, offering free breast exams today, madam.
Yes.
Sounds like a dirty joke from the 50s.
Wow.
She said, oh, okay, come on in.
What are the chances you find a 36-year-old in Florida, and then she falls for it?
She led him into his apartment, her apartment, and he began the exam. After touching the victim's chest, Dr. Winkoff moved an ungloved hand to the woman's genitals and further molested her. It was at that point she started to recognize something may be wrong.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, man.
This isn't part of the breast exam.
Suspecting that he was not a real doctor, the victim contacted the sheriff's department.
Oh, yeah.
When the deputies arrived, the white-haired fake physician had already left. He did not go far, however. Instead of fleeing the area, Winkoff found another victim, a 33-year-old woman, who lived in the same apartment complex as the first victim. She was a few doors down. So they started going door to door looking for him. And they said, oh, you mean Dr. Winkoff? Yes, he's actually in here right now. He's going to give me my free breast exam.
All right, let's not lose sight of what's important here. Was the woman clean? Her breasts were fine,
she's
right?
She's fine, yes.
Okay, then she has some thanking to do, not some calling 911.
He found no lumps or masses, so apparently she's fine.
He's doing good work out there. Right. Well done, sir.
How you doing? Free breast exam today?
Yeah, I'm Bean.
I'm Bean.
Like Bean hasn't tried that on the island with his little doctor's bag and his Cracker Barrel t-shirt and his jorts. Flip-flops, hair and ponytails.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Musician Paul Simon is 70 years old today. Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones turns 69. Joey Belladonna of Anthrax, singer for that band, is 51. Kelly Preston's 49. Kate Walsh turns 44. Sacha Baron Cohen is 40 years old. Matt Hughes of the UFC is 38. Ashanti, 31 years old today. And Sammy Hagar is 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Lisa Ling, who's talking about her new season of Our America. She's doing a particular episode on amateur porn.
What?
Is she fur or again? Do we know?
I don't know, as I don't know what either of those words mean.
For or against.
John Huertas.
Castle.
We have him coming in. We have a movie beat. Ralph will take a look at that. If you want to bet on the NFL, we don't suggest it because it's illegal, but Cousin Sal will tell us his picks. We have LaQuisha on Jersey Shore, a brand new internet roundup, and we have breakfast with Coldplay tickets. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.